Morning. In our Bible study this week for the Capital Campaign, the title of the week's session is this: Life Choices, Standing at the Crossroads. I could see this very well as a byline for the gospel story that we just saw presented for us today. Standing at the Crossroads. We have defining moments in our life, as the woman did today with her encounter with Jesus. These defining moments call us to move from the known to the unknown, sometimes to move from inertia into action, sometimes to move from doubt into faith. One of our parishioners, Barbara Weston, shared with me her own story this week and was willing to share it with all of us during this Capital Campaign time. Barbara came to St. Joseph's 2.5 years ago. She moved from New Hampshire down here. She's been attending St. Joseph's for about 2 years. The defining moment for Barbara came when she lost her brother. He died. And at that time, Barbara was reaching out. And she found in the people of St. Joseph's and in Jesus Christ here her spiritual home. Barbara shares with us this testimony.
My name is Barbara Weston. I currently work at Walgreens as a service clerk. I moved to Florida from New Hampshire approximately 2.5 years ago and have been attending St. Joseph's for about 2 years. Recently, Father Marty explained how he and his family could make a commitment for the Capital Campaign and asked all of us to do the same. Initially, I was puzzled as to how I could give much of anything. My first thought after thinking it over was I could limit my going to Dunkin' Donuts to once a week, taking about $5 per week, 52 weeks a year, times 3 years. That comes to $780. I am still looking for ways to increase my commitment. I'm making a commitment because St. Joseph's has given me and continues to give me much in support and caring, and I want to pass it along to others. Thank you.
A defining moment for Barbara has led her to her increased commitment to this, her spiritual home. We look at this gospel today, and there is such a defining moment going on. If you recall, when we last looked at this gospel, we spent a lot of time talking about the significance of this interchange. First of all, Jesus is talking to a woman. That's a no-no. She's not supposed to be talking to him. Secondly, she's a Samaritan. John, in his euphemism, says, Jews do not do anything in common with the Samaritans. Read it more correctly. Jews hate Samaritans. To go from one place to the other, the direct route was through Samaria, but normally the Jews would go around it so they could avoid the Samaritans. Not only is she a woman, not only is she a Samaritan, but she is out at the well in the middle of the day by herself. No self-respecting woman would be out in the middle of the heat of the day by herself. The women came to the well either in the morning or in the late afternoon when it was cooler. And the fact that she is by herself at noonday tells us that she has been rejected by the community. She is despised by them for whatever she has been doing or not doing in her life. She is an outcast. Now add to that the fact that she has been married 5 times. And add to that, now she's got another man who's not her husband that she's living with. You add all of that up together and you get the picture painted that this is the most despicable, despisable person you could think of for Jesus to have an interchange with. And yet, he does. And it becomes a defining moment in her life. This image of coming to the well and encountering Christ, I think, is a perfect symbol for what this church is all about. We are in the business of creating an atmosphere where when people come, maybe God might just show up and the Holy Spirit might come down because of the atmosphere that we have created for that to be possible. We had on Friday night the moms group that gathered for their celebration dinner, a ministry to mothers who come together for a 6-week period of time, and it becomes for many of them a defining moment. It becomes for many of them the time when they have an excuse to stop talking about just the cocktail party things of life and talk about things that really matter about their spiritual journey. They encounter Christ. They receive living water, and many of them are active in this church today as a result. Our children's ministry that we highlight on this second Sunday of our capital campaign, the whole point of all of these milestone ministries that we do is to create that atmosphere that when people come to that well, maybe, just maybe, they will hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking to them a word that you are worthy. That no matter what life or society has done to you or not done for you, you are worthy in my sight. That, my friends, is what this capital campaign is all about. We have been able to bring people to the well. God has brought people to the well and has enabled us to have that atmosphere where in some way Jesus has been showing up. And it's to the point where if we are to continue to be able to do that, we need to make more room in the inn. We need to make it more possible for that well to be life-giving water for many more. It's an incredible thing that God is doing in this place. Barbara Weston could tell her story, and there are 200 plus other people who could do the same. The children, we are hoping that the atmosphere that we are creating through the choir, through our baptismal ministry, through the faith chest, through our Sunday school, through our youth program, is all for the same. It's not just for us. It's all about making an atmosphere at the well so Christ can show up and speak to us. That's what's important for us. We do fellowship events. We turn people away at some of our dinner functions, and we're doing it not just to have a good time. As Episcopalians, we love that, but that's not what it's all about, just that. It's to create that atmosphere that just maybe someone will show up and experience something and walk away saying, wow, there's something they have in my life that I'd like to have too. And then maybe they will hear Jesus speaking to them of living water. Living water is that symbol of eternal life that God wants to give, has given to all of us who are baptized. You know, I did something this Lent intentionally, and by the feedback I've gotten, it certainly achieved its purpose. How many of you have gone, when you have come in or are leaving the church, have gone over to the little holy water font by the door and put your hand in there, and it goes through the ring all the way down because the holy water is gone? That was intentional. Because as we continue this journey in our Lenten season, especially this Lent, we need to develop that thirst for that living water that God has given to each one of us. When we get to Easter Sunday this year, I hope and pray that more than ever, when we are sprinkled with that living water as a reminder of our baptism, that we will feel it in a way we have never felt it before. That it's not just that cool, refreshing water, H2O, that hits our face, but deep down in our soul, it is that true thing that gives me purpose, that gives me life. That's what it's about. You may have seen the movie that was popular a couple years ago called Pay It Forward. And in that movie, there is an elementary school class that comes up with an idea. And the idea is this. When someone does something for you, they usually want to pay you back. And the pay it forward idea is you say, no, don't pay me back. Pay it forward. Whatever I have done for you, I want you to pass that on to three other people in some way. And when they, in turn, pass it on, they will not be paid back. They will again encourage those three people to pay it forward. And you can see how it grows and it grows and it grows. And there are all sorts of things being done that are bringing meaning to people's lives as a result. This woman at the well, you have seen photos of her flashing up on the screens periodically today because she chose to pay it forward. She is a great saint in the Eastern Rite churches. She is called Saint Fotini or Saint Fotina. You might know the Slavic name better, Svetlana. She went with her family after they were baptized and went out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ's living water to many people as far away as Carthage. While they were in Carthage, Nero, the Christian hater, got word that they were doing what they were doing, and he took them under house arrest. They were tortured. He decided that he would send his own pagan daughter with 100 slaves in to talk to Fotina and her family, and they would certainly talk them out of this crazy Jesus stuff. Well, it didn't work out that way. They come out of the room, and Fotina and her family had converted Nero's daughter to Christianity along with 100 slaves. Needless to say, that did not make Nero very happy, and Fotina and her family were martyred. They paid it forward. They were given that gift of living water and chose to make it possible for more and more to receive it as well. These defining moments happen for all of us. This is a defining moment in the life of this parish at this point in time. It is for us not only to realize the living water that we receive, but to see where God might be calling us to pay it forward as well. I want to end today with a defining moment that happened for me a couple of weeks ago. My normal exercise regimen is to go to the YMCA, but on Fridays now, I go to a health club that I belong to since my days in St. Louis up by the airport, because the Y, let's face it, it's become St. Joseph's West. And as an ability to just get away from things for a couple hours on Friday, I go up there, do my exercises, nobody knows me, I don't know anybody there, and then I can go and have my nice steam bath before I come home. Well, 2 weeks ago the steam was closed, but the dry sauna was open. Now, the dry sauna in that place has a history and a reputation. To put it simply, it's where old men go to do naughty things. So I go in there with my head down, not wanting to make eye contact with a single individual. And there is a man who sits down not far from me and is obviously trying to make eye contact with me. And I put my head down even further, but I can sense that he's still trying to make eye contact. And he starts to physically move closer to such a point that I get nervous enough that I get up and I leave, thinking not very nice things about this man. I look back from the lockers and I see him come out of the door of that dry sauna, and he does get eye contact with someone. And I overhear the conversation. "Would you help me, please? I can't remember where I am. Could you help me to find my clothes?" I felt like this. That was a defining moment for me. My preconceived notions made it impossible for Jesus Christ to be a part of that interchange. I asked you all last week, first and foremost, to pray at this time for how God might want to be using you. Part of that prayer I would ask you this week: remember those defining moments in your own spiritual life. And ask God to help you to remove those preconceived notions. Because none of us want to be the ones that would prevent Jesus Christ from showing up. We are all called to move to action. We are all called to move continually from doubt to faith. Fotina did it. Moses and the people of Israel did it. May we do it as well. Amen.